Rochester Speaks. I'm Pat Rivers. In this segment, my guest is with Epilepsy and EPI Epilepsy Service of Rochester. They've been providing services for children and adults with epilepsy here in upstate New York for over 40 years. And this October, they have a challenge. 1 in 26 challenge, where participants have 26 days in October, October 1st through the 26th, to walk, run, or bike 26 miles. Sounds like quite the feat. Over 26 days, totally doable. Joining us via the telephone, I'd like to welcome Michael Riddell, Education Coordinator and Camp Director at EPI. Welcome, Mike.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. I always like to ask first, what's in a name? So what does EPI stand for, and how did that name come to be?
Well, EPI stands for Empowering People's Independence, and it came about two agencies formed, Epilepsy Foundation and PRALID, and we merged early in 2013, and we came together, and we just recently, over the last couple of years, came together with a new branding, new name, Empowering People's Independence, and it speaks to who we support.
Now, I know we all have a basic idea of what epilepsy is, and for those who suffer from it, know how debilitating it can be. What are some of the factors involved that might make, you know, one child have it in a family when the rest of the siblings are fine, or when someone else has a diagnosis of it later in life? I know it's a big question.
No, that's fine. There's lots of things that can cause someone to have epilepsy. It could be genetic. Occasionally, it can be caused by some type of injury or something that happens to the brain where seizures start. It's a diagnosis that comes when people have reoccurring unprovoked seizures. Sometimes it's managed quite well. Other times, it's very difficult to control. And it can happen to anybody at any time. A lot of times it happens early in your life, or another time, a very frequent time, is when someone is aging and gets older.
I can imagine, you know, how scary that might be, especially as an older adult, having it come on later in life.
Yes, it's you're used to doing things a certain way, and sometimes all that changes when seizures start. Such things as employment and going to school or driving is a big barrier for people who are diagnosed with epilepsy.
Now, I understand it's still often misunderstood and still carries a stigma. Why is that, do you think?
Well, for many years, people didn't talk about it, and there was a lot of misconceptions, myths that surround the disorder of epilepsy. And recently, over the last 10 or 20 years, we've been able to talk about it more, and people are more aware of the diagnosis. And there's a lot of ways to treat it or keep those seizures under control. And it's a lot better than it ever used to be with medications and devices and diets. But there's still a lot of people who don't understand it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise awareness about the disorder and get rid of those myths and stigmas.
Now, is epilepsy on the rise? And I only ask that because I remember reading a CDC report a couple of years back saying that it is on the rise.
Well, there's about 3.4 million Americans that have the diagnosis of epilepsy. That's including 470,000 children. And our event, our challenge, 1 in 26, there's 1 in every 26 individuals will eventually get diagnosed with epilepsy at some point in their life. So it's a pretty prevalent condition. It's a lot more common than people expect.
It certainly is. It's kind of stunning when you see those numbers and you hear that. Well, epilepsy is treatable, but are they close to finding a cure?
Well, there's so many different variables that have to go into the diagnosis of epilepsy. The brain is a very complicated organ, and so there's so many different reasons why someone would have epilepsy. They're doing some really great research now to come up with a cure, but there's lots of also really great treatments. The medications have come a long way, and other types of treatments to keep those seizures at bay.
Now, let's talk for a bit about what EPI does here in Rochester and the services that you offer.
Yeah, we work with about 7,000 children and adults with epilepsy and seizure disorders in upstate New York. We do education, so we go out to schools, businesses, agencies, and talk and teach about the disorder of epilepsy. We provide support groups and advocacy, individual and family consultations, so when someone gets diagnosed with epilepsy, they really have to kind of understand and work through it after they come out of the doctor's office. And we provide some assistance with, you know, like medication and seizure monitoring devices. And we also have a couple camps specifically for children and young adults with epilepsy. It's the only epilepsy camp in New York State, by the way.
Yes, tell us about that. You're the camp director, right?
I am, and I have been for quite a while. It's a great opportunity for not only children but young adults to come together and spend a week with each other doing things that kids and young adults should do at a typical type of summer camp. And we have the medical professionals there and the counselors there to support these children and young adults to do things such as, you know, swimming and wall climbing and canoeing and archery and all those fun stuff. And they really do get to get together and meet other kids or young adults who have the disorder and have a close bond because they have that thing in common.
I would imagine it's a difficult thing to have to go through as a child because you never know when a seizure is going to happen, and they don't think they're able to do the things that normal, or I shouldn't say normal, but other kids are able to do.
Right.
And this camp provides that opportunity, right?
It does. It really gives. It's the 1 week of the summer that they get to come and they can do things that a lot of times, often they're told no, they can't. We just have the supervision levels there to support their. The activities that we have, and it's a really neat place to be, not only for myself as a camp director to see these kids grow and be, you know, have the confidence that they never had before, the self-esteem, it goes through the roof, so they can have a lot of fun and learn a lot about epilepsy as well along the way.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great. Now, what about a teenager who suffers or who has been diagnosed with epilepsy? Can they play sports?
Absolutely. We certainly talk to the families and the teen itself to talk to their neurologists about what their limits are, what their restrictions are. But a lot of times we encourage people to live their life of their choosing and to do the things that, you know, typical teenagers do, like, you know, go to school and play certain sports. Of course, we always want to make sure that they take the precautions to keep themselves safe so that they don't further injure themselves. But we certainly want to have them, you know, be happy and live their full life.
Now, I understand that some people who are epileptic can tell when a seizure is coming on. Is that true?
There are some individuals who have what they call an aura.
Okay.
It's a period of time. Sometimes it's a few hours. Sometimes it's just a few seconds where they can tell it's coming, and they can get themselves maybe to a safe spot when they have the seizures so they don't injure themselves. Some people don't have that. It just comes out of the blue any time of the day or night, and that's a very frustrating thing, too, because you could be in the store and it could happen, or sometimes people have nocturnal seizures where it happens when they're sleeping, you know, in bed. So it depends on the individual and where in the brain the seizures are coming from, and there's a lot of variables or factors going into that.
Does that present a problem with driving a motor vehicle?
Yeah. Across the country, each state has their own laws and rules about driving. New York State, you know, is one that says that you have to be seizure-free for a period of a year,
okay.
1 year time. And if you are, then, you know, it's a conversation you have to have with the Department of Motor Vehicles and their neurologist. But if they've had a seizure within a year, we recommend and you know, let them know that they shouldn't be driving because the alternative is not so great.
Yeah,
you could get into
jeepers.
A car accident or, you know, losing awareness or consciousness sometimes. You know, and driving doesn't mix.
Yeah. So, and now, one other question I've always wondered, and, you know, I think we were taught this back in grade school, but what should someone do, like me or you, if we see someone having a seizure? What's the best advice you could give us?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really focus on when I do epilepsy education presentations is seizure first aid, is what to do. The first thing I would recommend is not to panic. And a lot of times after that, you know, you use your common sense and you keep that person safe. If there's a fall, you might want to turn that individual on their side. So if they're, you know, if they're choking, they could, you know, they can they open up the airway and it can breathe, they can breathe again. The one thing I want to recommend that people not to do is try to stick something in someone's mouth. That's the worst thing you could do. It could prevent, it could block the airway itself, or you know, you could actually get your fingers bit.
Sure.
You know, person clenches down when they have a seizure. So we recommend not doing that. But a big thing is just to use your common sense. Keep that person safe. And if it lasts for a good amount of time, give 911 a call. People with epilepsy, they sometimes have seizures often. So going to the hospital every single time may be not necessary. But if a seizure lasts a long time, or if they get injured during a seizure, getting more medical professionals involved is a good idea.
How long does a seizure usually last?
The typical type of seizure that a lot of people will recognize as a seizure is what they call a tonic-clonic seizure. And that seizure is typically about 2 to 3 minutes long.
Wow.
If it goes over 5 minutes, we would really recommend getting 911 a call and having the medical professionals handle that from there, that point on. But there can be other seizures. I'll give you an example of an absence seizure. A generalized seizure, which causes a person to kind of stare off into space. You know, it's just kind of a blank stare for a few seconds.
Okay.
And that's a very short seizure. But that can happen many, many times a day. So there's a lot of different types of seizures. There's about 20 different types of seizures that people can have, and a lot of times people don't realize that.
And you have education programs with EPI that we the public could attend.
We do. We do. We have them online. We have them in person. So I have an educator in Syracuse that can come out to the region around Syracuse, and also myself here in Rochester can go out to anywhere, the schools, businesses, families' homes, and educate anybody who wants or needs the information.
You're listening to Rochester Speaks. Our guest is Mike Riddell with EPI Epilepsy Service of Rochester. He's the education coordinator and camp director. And Mike, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with EPI.
Well, when I went to college, I was a criminology criminal justice major.
Oh.
And I had the diagnosis of epilepsy.
Oh, you did?
So I had I had several seizures over the course of my latter half of my high school and throughout college and a little bit after. And I wanted to be in human services, and I was in the criminal justice program, and I did graduate with a bachelor's degree in criminology and criminal justice, but I did some career searching afterwards because I knew I couldn't pursue that, and I got into nonprofit human service work. And I moved to Albany for a little while, came back to Rochester, and I found my niche here at EPI. And I love working with the kids at camp, and I also love talking with people, as you can probably imagine, and giving that information that everybody needs about the disorder of epilepsy.
Well, you've been
from a personal and a professional perspective.
Well, I see. Yes, absolutely. And you're giving us a wealth of information here today. Let's talk about your 1 in 26 challenge. I know you touched upon it there earlier, but 1 in 26 stands for something significant.
Yes. I mentioned earlier that 1 in 26, so 1 out of every 26 individuals will be diagnosed with epilepsy at some point of their life. And we came up with this challenge last year, and it's 1 in 26 challenge. And our kickoff event is on October 2nd at Whitcomb Farms. And it gives the opportunity for everybody to come together to not only raise awareness, but we raise some money for epilepsy-specific services. And we do one mile walk together on October 2nd, and then the rest of the month, each person can run, they can walk, they can bike a mile each day until 25 days more later in the month, and raise some money and some awareness for epilepsy.
So do the participants record it somehow on a piece of paper or a log of some sort?
Yeah, they can keep track of it each day. They can do a mile, or you can skip a couple days and do a couple miles in a day. But anyway, we do that 1 mile together at Whitcomb Farms, and then we take the rest of the month to accomplish the rest of the 25 miles.
And they raise money through sponsors.
Sponsorships and people can raise money to donate to our agency for these epilepsy-specific services.
Well, that is awesome. And then to sign up for that, it's all right there on your website.
It is. And they can find it on epiny.org.
All right. Now, you guys used to have a big chocolate ball every year.
Yes.
Is that happening again, or has that been put to the wayside?
No, we're after the last couple of years, we had a little challenges holding an in-person event with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we're going to have it at the end of April. It's going to be a little later than we typically have it. We have normally held it in February.
But that's right.
It's a gala. It's a formal gala that you can come, and we have local pastry chefs that create these amazing chocolate cakes, and that's the first thing you do when you come in. You sample these cakes, and then we have a silent auction, and then we actually do a live auction, and we auction off these cakes to the attendees and have some dinner and some dancing. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, that's I've seen it on television in years past, and I've always said that is one ball I want to go to.
You're welcome to come. We'd love to have you.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, of course you didn't have it for a couple of years because of COVID, but we're looking forward to that next year, and we'll have you back on just leading up to that.
That'd be great.
Mike, is there anything you'd like to add in our remaining moments?
Well, I just want to let everyone know that epilepsy is a disorder that is very manageable for a lot of people. And if as long as you talk about it and if you have epilepsy yourself, give us a call here at EPI, and we have the programs and services to help you out. And people with epilepsy are just like anybody else. They just have a little bit more firepower in their brain.
No, that's a good way to put it. Your website address.
Yes. It's www.epiny.org.
And you're located where, your address?
Our headquarters is in here in Rochester, New York, on South Avenue, right near the El Segal Center.
Oh, that's right.
And we have offices also in Syracuse and down in Binghamton as well.
All right. Mike Riddell, Education Coordinator and Camp Director at EPI Epilepsy Service of Rochester. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat.